morning. How's everybody doing today? So we have Mark Mummy, is director, HANA and Global Big Data Center of Excellence at SAP. The SAP Big Data COE has responsibility for executing programs, enablement, and sales strategy for SAP's customer success with the SAP Big Data and Enterprise Data Warehousing Portfolio. Mark is a seasoned IT professional with over 20 years' experience covering both business and technical areas across many industries. He is also the chief architect of the SAP HANA Petascale system, participating in numerous industry standards, benchmarks, and Guinness Book of World Records certifications. I have to elaborate on that. Guinness Book. Yeah.
Fun stuff.
Mark came to SAP via the Sybase acquisition in 2011. Please welcome Mark to the Cloud Developer Summit and Expo.
Can you all hear me? Okay. All right. I hate using microphones. I hate standing by podiums. I came to SAP via the Sybase acquisition. When people think of SAP, they typically think of the traditional SAP applications company, you know, CRM and ERP type applications. That's definitely not me, and that's definitely not where the portion of the business that I sit in, which is about 60% of SAP's revenue right now, is not in the traditional, what we think of as a traditional SAP business. I'm definitely much more on the technology side, much more on the platform side of things. A lot of infrastructure plays, but SAP being an applications company, right, we do still, especially with, you know, as it relates to big data and all that, we do have applications out there to satisfy a lot of needs. The stuff that we're going to talk about over the next 45 minutes or so is really just our approach to big data as well as cloud development. Now, we'll wrap all this thing together, this stuff together, but really, our process, the stuff at SAP really started about 18 months ago, our push into big data, and really our expansion into the platform, the technology, the infrastructure market. Because there is a tremendous amount of data that's out there. The overused term big data, which I really do not like, I've been doing big data for 15 years. I mean, I built systems that were a petabyte and a half 15 years ago for the US government. Database systems. The same technology that we'll talk about here today was in use there 15 years ago. So that kind of stuff has been around for quite a while. It's just getting a whole lot of airplay right now because it's the newest, latest buzzword. But it is something that is absolutely critical to businesses today. It's not just about being able to take and build some sort of IT infrastructure to store a whole lot of data. It is getting C-level visibility and C-level responsibility at a lot of companies. That's what we see, right? Those are the relationships that SAP typically fosters, and we're starting to see more and more C-level folks really keenly interested in what's happening in the big data space. It's, again, it's an overused term. What do we really mean by that? It's just a lot of data. You know, the typical things that we think about, the data, the amount of data that we have, the speed with which we want to acquire the data, act on the data, but also the different data sources that we're bringing in. Being able to give those folks really a 360-degree view of the entire organization should they want to go to those extremes. Some people don't, some applications. We deal with big data environments that are 2, 3, 4 petabytes in size that are one tiny little silo of major companies. We deal with big data environments and applications that cover the entire scope of the entire business. So we're all over the place in terms of what it is that we are doing for customers with big data. And at the end of the day, right, we're using the SAP technology to be able to do this. And it's being able to acquire that data fast enough, act on it fast enough, and be able to provide a whole lot of value to the end users that need access to the information and allow them, not just access to the information, but allow them to react to it quickly. at the core of it all is SAP's HANA platform. Now, I came to SAP in 2011 via acquisition. Again, I sat on the technology side. I'm a database guy. It's where I've been sitting for the last 20 plus years, is on the database side of things. We released a technology in 2011 called SAP HANA, and it was touted as an in-memory database engine. The product as it sits today is one tiny little piece of it is an in-memory database engine. The overall platform itself is, it incorporates, yes, an in-memory database engine. It incorporates application servers, highly specialized engines that allow us to process different types of data, but very specific to types of data, from spatial to text-based and all that, which we'll get into. The key is that it's not just a database engine. It's not just, you know, when we think of big data, a lot of folks think it's just we've got a massive amount of data. We need to store it, manage it somehow in, whether it's a database engine or something like Hadoop, we need a data management engine. Our main platform for doing this is HANA, but we're not limited to the typical thought that it's just about managing the data, right? What we're really trying to do is take our data, take our applications and our processing, and move it as close together as we can, so that we're doing our data processing, we're putting our applications, in essence, into the database engine, into the data, so that we're not having to move information around. There's nothing worse from a database and an application perspective, there's nothing worse in the world than having to move information around. And if I've got a couple hundred terabytes of data that I've got to sift through to analyze to allow my business to function, I don't want to be moving that information from application to application, from server to server. Whether it's on-premise or in the cloud is immaterial. I don't want to move it. So our philosophy from the very beginning is be able to push our application, push our logic, as close to the data as we can, so that we're not having to move that information around. And the HANA platform allows us to do that. But it's not, from SAP's perspective in the big data space, it's not just about platform. Right, we've got analytics. We've got to be able to analyze our data. We've got to be able to provide tool sets or an application framework to be able to build the applications and the analytics on top of it. We've also got, as I mentioned, right, we are an applications company, so we do have big data applications that allow us to, from day one, come out of the box with systems up and running, able to analyze the data to do different things. And then lastly, data sciences is, again, another big buzzword in the marketplace today. But being able to provide those folks to customers that know how to sift through the data, they know how to write algorithms, they know how to cull through all this information to find the nuggets of the truth, right? The needles, the proverbial needles in the haystack, right? That's what our data scientists are able to do. So it's not just one approach for us, right? We're not just coming out here and saying, well, hey, you know what? In big data, all you need is Hadoop. No. We'll get into some of the intricacies of that. But it's not just one thing for us, right? It really is a complete approach to managing the data, being able to provide analytics for the data, applications for customers that don't want to develop their own, and then for customers that are much more advanced or taking those extra leaps in terms of trying to find out what information they have in their data, being able to provide data sciences for that as well. Now, on the HANA side of things, right, so we start off, right, the whole thing here is, and we'll get to the cloud, don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to gloss over it, we'll see why it's really not that big of a deal for us in the last few slides. But really, from an application perspective, right, we'll focus on a bunch of the key capabilities that we've got in our platform from an applications perspective. So the first being text analytics. The core foundation of SAP HANA was actually a text analytics engine that SAP has had around for about 12 or 13 years now. It used to be tucked up underneath a couple of different products, and Hasso Plattner, one of the founders of SAP, when they were talking about doing in-memory computing, said, we've got a lot of customers that are doing text-based processing. We need to build our in-memory system around this, right, to start with, because in the SAP world, unstructured data is, it's critical. It's critical to the traditional SAP applications. So this is one of the pieces that's out there. If we've got a lot of unstructured data and we want to load it into the system, we can do appropriate text analytics, text processing of that information. One of the other key foundations of HANA is being able to do things like sentiment analysis. Now, this kind of bridges a couple of areas for us. First and foremost, it's part of the engine. Some of the key things that we do within sentiment analysis are actually part of the engine. What we're finding is nearly every customer of ours is keenly into this type of processing. Now, it's not always just Twitter and Facebook feeds and things like that. There are other ways of, or other data feeds that feed into sentiment analysis in the SAP world. We typically think of it as social media, but that's not what, you know, we're not limited to that. And because we're seeing a lot of our customers, a majority of our customers, wanting to do some sort of sentiment analysis on their data, there's a big portion of that that we actually drove straight into the platform engine. So it's not just a separate application that's doing this. It's actually part of the data management platform. The second component to sentiment analysis is absolutely an application. Right, for those customers that do want to, that do need to do sentiment analysis, being able to provide them a front end, a user interface, you know, rudimentary user interface based on things that SAP has designed that we can then take and customize for a customer, build upon, expand and enhance. But at least we're providing an application, you know, foundation for you to be able to run things on from day one. And again, if we don't want to go down that path, we want to write our own, that's fine. We can leverage the sentiment analysis framework that's within the HANA platform and still get all of the same processing horsepower, but developing our own user interface. So we've split, right? Think about it. We've split the user interface from the processing, the logic, so that we can provide our own application. You can develop your own. We can start with ours while you develop your own. That's fine as well, right? We're not locked into any one path with regard to sentiment analysis. One of the other core foundations to the HANA platform is a predictive engine. So being able to embed and enhance libraries in the database engine that allow us to basically predict the outcomes based on the data sets that we provide those libraries. So whether our data is streaming in, say we're, you know, again, another overused term, the Internet of Things. We've got machines generating data. We've got people generating data on things like Twitter and Facebook. And based on the information that's constantly moving, we want to predict certain outcomes. That's great. That's on streaming data. The other aspect is I've got historical data, and I want to be able to predict some outcomes based on historical patterns, not necessarily streaming data. No problem. Both of those things are covered within our predictive engine inside the HANA platform. So that we can, again, you know, our algorithms, the output of the algorithms is only as good as the data that we're feeding it. So if we're constantly streaming data in, we've got a much smaller window. But at the same time, we want to react faster to data that's streaming into the system, right? So the speed with which we react is going to be very dependent on the amount of data that we have. If we're looking at months, years, decades worth of information, clearly it's going to take us longer to analyze that information than it is to analyze trends and patterns over the last few minutes, right? But the predictive engine handles that for us. I don't know too many systems out there that don't have some sort of spatial data, right? Data that we're collecting, again, another, like I said, another overused term, the Internet of Things, right? These machines that are out there constantly collecting data, well, guess what? They're all geolocated. They've all got positions somewhere. Shoot, even our phones. You know, our phones, our iPads, our laptops, they've all got position markers in them. They know exactly where the devices are at when the data is being captured. So let's use that information for things, right? If we want to track, say, my patterns as I'm going from, you know, I live in a particular city and every day I get up and I take a certain path to work and I make certain stops along the way. Maybe I do that over and over and over every single day because that's just part of what I do when I go to work. That's a natural pattern. Now, throw that through the predictive engine, it's going to predict with some certainty that I'm probably going to do this nearly every day because I've done it forever, you know, every Monday through Friday for the last 3 months, 6 months, a year. So there's a high degree of certainty that I'm going to continue doing that. But now if I can carry along all those locations of exactly where I'm going, right? We've got a lot of customers of ours that are looking at that kind of information. If I know where that person is, and I know where my stores, my kiosks, my whatever it is that I'm trying to sell to the public, if I know where those are along that person's route, all of a sudden, I can start to do things like send their devices ads. Hey, Mark, we know that you drive this way to work every day. Here's a coupon for Starbucks. Here's a coupon for Dunkin' Donuts. You know, why don't you go in and get a coffee? We know that you stop at whatever. You know, you stop at McDonald's, but here's a coupon for Starbucks. Head on in there, right? Really targeted, directed marketing, but a lot of it being based on geolocations. I mentioned earlier, right, about streaming data. So one of the technologies that SAP acquired came through the Sybase acquisition was ESP, or Event Stream Processor. It allows us to be able to capture data in real time from different machines, different sensors, different data feeds. ESP was originally developed for two markets 15 years ago or so. Those two markets being probably the highest volume markets definitely at the time, not so much anymore with, again, the advent of the Internet of Things and connected devices. But at the time, telco and Wall Street, the two biggest generators of real-time data globally, right? And so ESP was developed to be able to handle those data volumes. As trades, as bids and trades are constantly being made on the Wall Street markets, we want to be able to process every single one of those, do it with ultra-low latency, and be able to do something based on the information that we see, based on the patterns that we see. We want to predict certain outcomes, or we want to prevent certain things from happening, market crashes, flash crashes, things like that. In the telco world, we want to be able to capture this information in real time so that we can do things like network analysis. Yeah, are certain cell towers, certain data towers getting oversaturated? Do I need to move resources around? During the Sydney Olympics, we were heavily into that. We leveraged ESP and our big data platform to be able to capture all this information in real time, provide it to the cell companies that decided that they wanted this kind of information, so that they could then take, obviously, fixed towers you don't move. But in the cell world, there are also mobile towers. When you have hundreds of thousands of people descending on the city for something like the Olympics, you need a lot more infrastructure from a cell phone perspective just to be able to handle, you know, the data and voice communications. So there's a whole lot of mobile towers that went in place. But if you put them in the wrong locations, they're not doing anybody any good. Why would you put them over in the track and field area when all the events are over in swimming? Right, so being able to analyze in real time where people are, which towers are current hotspots, so that you can now start directing things to appropriate locations and doing it all in real time, right? All with our streaming engine. Now, one of the core features of the HANA platform is a feature that we call Smart Data Access. As much as most big companies like SAP like to think that we rule the world and you're just going to use our technology for everything, that's not reality. Again, I come from an infrastructure perspective. My job for the last 20 years was trying to figure out how to connect all of these disparate systems together to be able to provide a complete picture to the folks that needed that information. Smart Data Access allows us to leverage the platform and all the things that we've talked about so far, right? Because you'll notice we didn't talk anything about data, right? We're talking about application frameworks that are all part of the data, the database engine, part of the HANA platform. But we never really talked about, where is my data? How do I gain access to it? What's storing it? Because at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter. Our platform, on one hand, will allow us to create logical data warehouses, logical big data repositories, tie information together from different systems without having to move the data around. So if I've got an SAP, if I've got an ERP system, I can use Smart Data Access to create links from my current environment to that ERP system. Nobody wants to move the ERP data around, right, or CRM data, because it's critical to the business. And moving that information around now creates multiple versions of the truth, which most businesses do not like. So I want to leave it over there. I don't want to create a copy of it so that I can do my analytics. I may also have environments that are just too big and too unwieldy to move around. Doesn't make sense to take, say, a petabyte of data and try and cram it into an in-memory database platform. As much as our sales reps would love to sell somebody a petabyte worth of HANA to manage in-memory data, that's not reality. Nobody wants to do that. The systems are too expensive, the memory is too expensive, the infrastructure is too expensive. But if I've got a petabyte of data sitting in, say, Hadoop, and I still want to be able to do spatial processing from applications, I want to be able to write some custom applications, do some predictive analytics on that information, I can connect to those objects through Smart Data Access. It provides, get a little geeky, it provides an ODBC interface today to any database that has an ODBC driver. Now we're really having to Teradata, Oracle, SQL Server, DB2, Hadoop, and of course the SAP engines as well. But it provides that bridge so that we can now create logical data warehouses, logical marts without physically moving things around. Doesn't mean that we should leave everything exactly where it is. There are reasons to consolidate information. But perhaps from day one, we don't want to consolidate everything. I put plans together for a whole bunch of companies that involve day one leveraging Smart Data Access. Leave your current systems in place. Let's set up the application framework first. Let's build the application and reach into those different data sources remotely. Pull that information back and be able to process it from an application perspective. Meanwhile, we can then work on the bigger project of physically moving that data around, or sunsetting older systems, consolidating, going through data consolidation. Because when we start to go through these efforts, we may realize that there's information that we never use. Why keep it around? Or maybe putting it in the HANA platform isn't the right location for all of that information. Because the information, while it's valuable to the business, it's infrequently accessed. Well, again, why would I want to put that infrequently accessed information in memory, taking up space, at a much higher cost, rather than, say, deciding to put some of that information into other technologies, disk-based technologies, whether it's database engines, that which we'll get to in a second, that we've got, or something like Hadoop. But when we start to go through this consolidation planning, we may find that there's different data sets that we've got as part of this bigger system that don't all have to move en masse. Some of the newer information we want to move in, we may want to move in memory. Some of the older information, archived information, we want to leave around because we need it from a business perspective, but we don't want to put it in memory. We want to put it in a different location, different management system, be able to, right, really reduce our costs of managing the overall system, but still provide a way to get access to it. And we can do all that through Smart Data Access. Some of the cool things that we're doing with Smart Data Access, again, right, this is the, from a big data perspective, Hadoop is everywhere. We're not going to get around it, right? It's the Hadoop's not going away. It is quite prevalent. Nearly every company has got something to do. They're doing something with Hadoop, whether they're just looking at it or they're already down the path and they've got applications and systems built all around it. But we're typically doing something with Hadoop. We're not going to get around it. That's okay. That's part of our strategy. Right, but our access today is via ODBC, but we're also building hooks and handles into the different Hadoop infrastructures out there, right? The different products that Hadoop brings along as part of that Apache code, whether it's Cloudera, MapR, Hortonworks, that they bring along all these different applications that and management systems that are part of that Hadoop framework. We're building hooks and handles into these as fast as we can. So our next release in November, we'll have more. Well, 6 months later, we'll have even more. So we're constantly building these in, but we're doing it through our Smart Data Access platform. Again, there's no sense in moving all this information out of Hadoop, an infrastructure that is very good at storing, this type of data. But yet, we still want to logically tie it all together so that we can build applications that gain access to it. So, as I mentioned, right, that Smart Data Access allows us to have those applications leverage the framework that we've got within our engine, right, within our platform, whether it's spatial, whether it's text processing, whether it's predictive, whatever it may be. It also allows us to gain performance from a traditional database perspective if we take a subset of our information and put it in our in-memory database engine. Okay? So now we can build an application framework that goes through the HANA platform, but regardless of where all of our data sits, we don't have to change anything. This is key, right? I've got a whole lot of customers, especially in the oil and gas industry. I mean, I live in Dallas, so between Dallas and Houston, Oklahoma, right? I'm in the middle of oil and gas central. Nearly every architecture that I've worked with in companies, from big to small, employs something like this. Our applications come through HANA, the HANA platform. There's going to be some amount of data that's in the in-memory database engine, but we're going to leverage all of the other application frameworks and application engines that we've got in the HANA engine, in the HANA platform, to be able to process that information. We're also going to use things like smart data access to connect us to other systems, because I don't want to move that data around today. But I want to be able to build an application that gives me a complete view of my company without having to move that data around, at least from day one. So we're going to greatly simplify our application development, because we're really only doing it in one area. Our application development is happening up here. I now don't have to worry about writing an application for Oracle and another one for DB2 and another one for SQL Server and another one for Hadoop. But it's not just Hadoop. I've got Spark and Shark and Hive and I've got a whole bunch of different Hadoop infrastructures that I can leverage, which is the right one for the right application. You know what? I don't know. So as we start developing more and more along, especially around on the Hadoop side of things down here, it creates a complexity from an application development perspective. I was at one oil and gas company up in Oklahoma, and I kid you not, they had 15 different applications just for Hadoop. And every single one of them used the different, they all used the same Hadoop distribution, but they all used different components from Hadoop. So they were all, in essence, they were all written in different languages. That's a huge burden of an infrastructure. You know what? Let's elevate what we're doing down here and bring it up here. Let's use a common layer, federate our information so that we can create one application that has access to all of these different systems. Right, that's really our approach from an application, right down in the weeds. That's our approach from an application development perspective. Now, we don't have to live up in here, right? We do have other tools, which we'll get into in a couple of slides. We do have we have other application frameworks, application tools, analytics tools that do allow us to connect directly to Hadoop, directly to Oracle and SQL Server and DB2, right? So we can do that if the need arises. But if we're really trying to build a complete infrastructure and try to minimize the amount of moving parts, especially from an application development perspective, then our approach really is, let's leverage that technology to build the application using, for the most part, right, using a single framework. And then merely bring on data through smart data access. I want to bring on different data sets? Great, no problem. I do it through smart data access. But my application never had to change, because I was still doing all of my interfacing through that database engine. And if I want to move my data, if my data was sitting out here, let's say it was sitting out here in Oracle, and I'm going to go through data consolidation, I'm going to sunset those systems, and I now want to move that information into the in-memory platform, simply remove the objects that point into the world Oracle system, build new permanent objects, load the data. From an application perspective, nothing ever changed. Table A is still table A. The data is just now local instead of remote. Hey, this is a huge amount of beauty and simplicity in that. All of a sudden, I'm not having to change my application. Just because I moved my data from Oracle to HANA, I didn't have to rewrite my application. In fact, I shut it down. I moved my data around over a weekend, and my users coming in Monday morning didn't know the difference, other than potentially a performance boost because it's now running in memory. Right? So there's a lot of benefits to being able to leverage something like smart data access to get up and running faster while we can figure out where's the best repository, the best location, final destination spot for that information. Now, one of the things as part of building applications, we've got to figure out where we're going to get the data from. How are we going to acquire the data? Right? We've got a whole lot of tools on the SAP framework that allow us to do that. Clearly, we can bring in data from our business suite, the traditional ERP and CRM systems. Our business warehouse, we can tap into that and bring information in from there. Right? We've got tools that allow us to do that. If we've got traditional databases out there, again, the Oracle, DB2, SQL servers of the world, then we've got technology that will allow us to move transactions as they're being committed in the databases so that we can move that data in real time. If we've got non-database type things, then such as machines, right? The Internet of Things and these machines that are constantly generating data that we need to stream information in from, then we can leverage our streaming platform to capture that information and load it up into the environment. And of course, again, I'm a database guy, I'm used to ETL tools, right? So we've got systems we need, whether it's flat files, whether it's other databases, if we need to do the traditional ETL type data processing, extract, transform, and load, then we provide ETL tools that allow us to do that as well. All of these allow us to provision data, not only in our HANA platform, right, in the HANA in-memory engine, but one of the other engines that we've got is a column or disk-based engine called IQ. So we can move data in there as well. Of course, from a big data perspective, we can't ignore Hadoop, right? We're not trying to say that Hadoop has no place. It does, very squarely, it does. And all of our tools allow us to move data, whether it's in-memory, on disk, or in Hadoop, right? All of our tools allow us to interface with those so that we can move the information around any point, from any source to any of those targets to build our application on. From a mobile perspective, I mean, we can't forget this, right? It's very rarely is somebody sitting in front of their desktop or laptop computer all the time. I don't, you know. I'm constantly on my phone or my iPad. You know, but hey, I've got tons of applications that allow me to reach back into the corporate environment if I were so inclined to reach back in and do analytics. All right, how cool is that? Being able to pull up on your phone, pick and choose a few little columns here or there, a few data attributes. Yeah, remember what I said earlier, right? We're all about pushing as much processing as close to the data as we can. There's no way that anybody's phone, no matter how new it is and how powerful it is, there's no way that you're going to be able to stream a bunch of information to your device and do a lot of number crunching and a lot of data processing on your phone, on your tablet, even on your laptop. Especially as the data volumes are growing and as the complexity of the applications is growing, it's not going to happen. Again, our approach is that we want to push as much of that processing as close to the data as we can, so that what we're providing from a mobile device perspective is merely an interface into that remote environment so that I can pick and choose what I want to process and how I want to process it, fire those jobs off and let them go. And then when they're done, I see the results on my device. I didn't do any processing. I didn't do mass amounts of data to my device. I merely did the processing remotely and brought the results back to my device. Now, from an application perspective, right, we talk about all the different things we've got that are part of the platform, right? Text analytics, spatial, predictive, things like that, that are all part of the data management platform. Well, now let's kind of step out of there, right? Business Objects was another SAP acquisition about 8 or 9 years ago. So from a traditional business intelligence analytics perspective, being able to create, you know, something as lightweight as dashboards to as deeply intricate as, you know, as data mining, and everything in between, being able to provide the true business intelligence, interactive reporting, analytics, search and exploration, all of the things that users are used to doing with their data sets, we can provide with Business Objects. And as I mentioned, right, sure, clearly our position is that that Business Objects should be based on the HANA platform. It should be going to HANA to get all of this information. We're not limited to that, don't get me wrong. Right, we've got plenty of customers out there that are using Business Objects with other systems, not SAP environments. But to build a big picture, right, the big consolidated SAP picture, yeah, let's leverage Business Objects for those analytics on top of the HANA platform and really start to see a boost. Because we know it's the HANA platform is not just a database engine, right? There's a lot of other really cool, neat features in there that allow us to push that processing closer to the data, do different types of processing that we would never think of being able to do inside a database engine, right? But business objects coming from SAP is now intimately aware of those. So when we release new features in the infrastructure level, they're automatically rolled into our application level because we know about them. We're all the same company, right? One of the other acquisitions that we made along the way, I like to call it out, it's called Lumira. It's actually been rolled into the business objects platform. But really, it allows us to connect to our data sources and be able to basically root around the different objects that we've got out there within our data sets. Could be in HANA, could be in IQ, it could be in DB2 or SQL Server or Oracle, it could even be in Hadoop. Be able to connect to these systems and analyze the data looking for different patterns. And then employing a whole bunch of different algorithms along the way, behind the scenes, that allows us to do some, without us having to think about it, right? We're the users of Lumira are not the data scientists. The data scientists are the ones that are writing the algorithms. Lumira kind of allows us to bridge the analyst and data scientist gap. It gives us a tool set so that analyst can now play around with the data as if they were a data scientist. So that we don't have to have a team of 50 or 100 or 1,000 data scientists looking at our data. We can have analysts that are used to looking at the information, but give them much more powerful tools to uncover, a whole lot of different things about our data. Another acquisition that we made is a company called KXEN. As I mentioned earlier, right, we've got, as part of the HANA platform, we've got a whole series of predictive libraries, predictive applications that are part of that platform. KXEN, the main reason for the acquisition was they were doing predictive. They've been doing predictive a very, very long time. I worked with KXEN 10, 15 years ago. Now, we acquired them because what they were doing with predictive was something very different than what we were doing. So hugely complementary to what, to where we wanted to go from a predictive perspective. Much more about providing an application, right, front end, drag and drop different objects, move this column around, move this attribute around, be able to predict things as we're dragging and dropping, right? It's running through its algorithms behind the scenes in its engine that's sitting right next to the data, right? It's sitting through here, crunching through that information, trying to give you different insights into your data. And of course, as I mentioned at the very beginning, right, we are SAP. We are an applications company. 42 years ago, that's exactly what we were founded. We were founded to develop business applications. Businesses run their business on SAP applications. You know what, in the big data space, we can't forget our history. So yes, we do have a series of applications that sit on top of the framework. Whether it's sentiment analysis, social analysis, predictive maintenance, fraud management, customer engagement, all of these things are applications that leverage the platform that we've been talking about. We've got 3 minutes, so we're going to skip through these real quick. One of the things that I wanted to mention, we're here at Cloud Summit. I didn't mention cloud yet, right? One of the beauties of our HANA platform, the design of the HANA platform from the very beginning was that this little bottom box right here, this is where the power is from a cloud perspective. It doesn't matter where you want to do your development. We don't care. If you want to do all of your development on-premise with the HANA platform, great, no problem. You want to do it all in the cloud? Not a problem. You want to start on-premise and move to the cloud? No problem. You want to start a cloud and move on-premise? No problem. The tooling, the overall, the entire infrastructure that we've talked about does not change, whether it's on dedicated machines in your data center or it's sitting off in our cloud or the Amazon cloud, AWS. It doesn't matter. the infrastructure itself, the tools that you're using, that you have access to, are all the same. And then one of the really cool things is that we actually have what we call a virtualization manager is the latest terminology. Hopefully they're going to change that before we go to market and get it out there too much with that name. But we're releasing a toolkit that allows us application, you know, outside of the application, the entire framework, to take those on-premise environments, SAP environments, from the platform all the way through the applications, be able to take that environment and move it back and forth between on-premise and cloud environments without major disruptions, with no application rewrites, no coding changes. We've got customers that are using this today on the other half of our business, the traditional core business of SAP. We've got customers that are using our virtualization manager to literally lift up their entire business suite of applications and move them from on-premise into the cloud. Over a weekend, we're just going to move this information around. The users come in Monday morning, they start up the application. They didn't even know that things had changed. But now all of a sudden, the data center is significantly smaller. We just got bigger pipes to the internet to the cloud, right? And this is kind of the power of the SAP, the entire SAP stack, right? We're really all about trying to keep it as simple as we can. So whether we're developing these big data applications in the cloud or on-premise, it doesn't matter. The tooling is exactly the same. And then we've also provided tools that allow us to move not just the infrastructure, but also applications back and forth between on-premise and cloud, should the needs of the business change. And they do. They change all the time. You bring in a new CIO who's heavily into the cloud, and the past CIO didn't like the cloud, wanted everything on-premise. The new CIO loves the cloud, hates on-premise. All of a sudden, everything's getting moved. And then in a few years, you get somebody else that comes in, and they want to reverse it. Nobody wants to rewrite these applications, right? But if we can satisfy everybody's requirements and needs by being able to automate this stuff, move it around without having to rewrite applications, all of a sudden, it makes our job a heck of a lot easier. That's for sure. That's for sure. So, walk away with a couple of things, right? Our overall presence in the big data market. We're not trying to just do one tiny little thing, right? We are a big company with a whole lot of resources, and we have a very big vision around big data and around cloud processing. We've got a tremendous vision here. We're not trying to focus in on one little area. Right, we're focusing on the platform. We got to acquire the data. We've got to manage the data. So we have to have a platform for that. We've got to be able to provide a framework to build applications. We've got to be able to provide tools that automate application building, like business objects, infinite insight. And then at the same time, we do have customers out there that want applications. They don't want to have to build it themselves. Right, so we're really looking at this whole thing from top to bottom, from a big data and from a cloud perspective. So. With that, we're wanting to go. If there are any questions, feel free to send me an email, catch me out in the hallways or whatever, and I'll do whatever I can to answer your questions or get you in touch with the right person. So, thank you guys very much.